I'm Derek Johnson of the Rabbit First Termer on Rat Show. The Rabbit Zone show that you're about to experience is brought to you in high definition Dave Rabbit Audio. Dave Rabbit Audio.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to tonight's Rabbit Zone show featuring the showcased artist of Brad White and his band, The National Pool. Hi, Brad. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good. Let's start tonight's interview with the fact that you're from Nashville. So how long have you been in Nashville?
Absolutely, yeah. I've been down here for about 5 years and originally from Maryland and came down here to go to college.
Oh, so that's okay. See, so that's great. So you went you went to Nashville for college? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, it's actually a town probably about 30 minutes outside of Nashville called Murfreesboro. And it's got a pretty lively music scene there. And then it's actually it's pretty close, but it's actually like kind of a separate scene from Nashville.
Oh, okay. So let me ask you a question. Now, how would you determine your music, basically?
I would say the quick answer to it is probably electronica slash rock. We keep it fairly grounded within, you know, like synthesizers and synthetic beats.
Right.
And then, but there's also still that rock aspect to it. You know, we got the guitars and live bass and that sort of thing.
Okay. So where do your roots come from as far as your musical background?
Let's see. I started playing guitar when I was 8, and then I picked up a little bit of bass, just as far as like all the different instruments that I kind of play. I picked up like a small amount of keyboards. I was really into like hip hop production for a couple years, so it's pretty diverse, I suppose. Yeah, as far as the instruments that I play.
Yeah. Okay. So tell me about what got you. Was there any particular band that you can remember that got you gung ho about, you know, I want to make music my career or whatever?
I can't think of anything. I remember bands that I listened to when I was a kid, but they never quite, you know, it wasn't like the reason why I wanted to be in a band. But I do remember listening to like Michael Jackson on the radio. And I think I even remember listening to like some Beatles on vinyl when I was in preschool.
Right.
And I'm not like a huge Beatles fan, but those are just like some early, early musical memories. But I can't really say that I was driven to make music by hearing any other specific bands. But there was a lot of other bands that I did like, though.
Okay. Well, were you in like bands as an entertainment venue when you were in high school?
I've been trying to put bands together since elementary school, and I just couldn't get all my friends like they didn't want to play, and so I had a string of a couple, you know, like really shitty bands in high school, as everybody does, you know.
Yeah.
And get your friends to go out to the show and they don't want to be there. And I thought that was like the end all, and then I, you know, finally after high school moved down here for college, and it was the whole new world, and I was playing in a band in Murfreesboro for a couple of years called Soon, and then that kind of dissolved, and I did hip-hop production for a couple of years.
Right.
And then, you know, just trying to make it in hip-hop production with, like, sample clearance and stuff like that, it's impossible almost as an up-and-coming. So then that's when me and Kyle, we were already living together, and then we're just like, you know, like, let's try and make some more music. And we didn't even have a band name until the end of the album. Like, we're just, like, writing songs, and it's...
Okay, and speaking of Kyle, Kyle Cornett, who is your partner, mm-hmm. So how did you guys meet?
The first night we met, I was at a bar, I think, getting ready to play with that band Soon that I had mentioned.
Right.
And I saw him and the ukulele player for his band in a pickup truck on the inside drinking whiskey in the parking lot before they went on. And I was kind of grubbing, and I got in the car, and I was like, yo, can I get some whiskey from you? And I think that was probably the first time I actually met him. And then I ended up managing a band that he was playing with.
Right.
And then we ended up moving in together a couple years after that. And, we were just living together, and then we're just like, you know, let's start writing again. Let's, you know.
Right.
So...
So how long have you all been partnered together in the band?
Probably, I guess, close to a year-ish.
We
spent pretty much the whole summer of last year of 06 working on the record, and then it just came out January 1st, like around that area.
Okay, let's get into some of your music. I told you off air, and of course we've been emailing each other and communicating.
Right.
You know, I'm just really a big fan of the National Pool.
That's
now
awesome.
Because
because
it's real unusual music, and I mean, you know, I just recently got introduced to all the things in London, you know, the funky house and trance and
but
the electronica rock thing that you guys have created. I'm really impressed with it. So, you know, our intro song tonight for your show was AO1. Tell me about AO1.
Yeah, AO1 I think was actually it wasn't the first. We had a couple songs when we first started writing that didn't make the final cut. But so AO1 was, I think, the first real song that we ended up putting together. And it was a riff that Kyle had come up with on his own from a while ago.
Right.
And he showed it to me, and it was, it was predominantly like his like riff, and I put my riff on top of that. And as far as like the lyrical content, you know, I hadn't written lyrics in a while, so it was less about a specific thing and more about, you know, just trying to create like a mood with different imagery and lyrics, as opposed to being about any one specific thing.
So how did you come up with the name AO1? Where did AO1 come from? Any specifics?
Yeah. It's actually, you know, probably not that amazing of a story, but I think Kyle worked at Dell Computers at one point. Uh-huh. And I think one of the buildings in there was called Apples and Oranges 1, and they called it AO1. So we were just like, yeah, you know, like that'll work. And then
when I do band interviews, I find the most amazing things.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Is how band members, how creators of music come up with the lyrics, you know. And I mean, if you've heard any of the other Rabbit Zones over the ones that I've done quite a few now.
Yeah.
But I mean, every artist is, I mean, some of them just, it becomes part of the lyric or this or that. But working for Dell Computers, we've never had that
on
the show.
And
so
I think Kyle would tell you that the lyrics are about a robot. And I guess we actually wrote those lyrics together. one of the few songs that we spent, you know, did the lyrics together on. And I think he would probably tell you it's about like a robot in the future, which I guess it kind of is about that as well. It's one thing we were trying to shoot for.
It's kind of like R2-D2, except it's AO1, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to be rolling into another one of your songs, which is called Japan.
Yeah,
and I mean, tell me about Japan. I love the music. I love the sound. I just think it's just really neat. But tell me about Japan.
Yeah. That song, the whole, I don't know if you have ever seen, what is it, Old School, where Will Ferrell is like...
Of course,
where he's trying to answer that question, and he blacks out, and then he says all the random... Like, that's kind of like what our whole album was like, you know, like we were just, you know, like intensely recording all the time, so... So the story for Japan was Kyle was out of town. He went up to Kentucky for the weekend. So I got off work and I'm just like sitting on the floor and I just started writing it and not really even knowing too much about Japan or whatever. And I was like, oh, you know, that might be a cool idea for a song or whatever. And since then, you know, I've been learning Japanese. I've been studying Japanese for, I don't know.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah. It's
lay some Japanese on me, bro.
Kore wa nan desu ka?
Which means?
What's this? That was the first thing. That's what me and my buddies always say, just because. let me see.
Well, the only one I think is Nakichio. Mr. Bond.
Ohayou gozaimasu.
Bond-san. Yeah, James Bond. See, I picked up a lot of Japanese and watched all my James Bond movies as I was growing up.
I've been studying it pretty intensely by myself. It might be about 6 months now.
Well, you know what's really funny? There is a podcast on my home base of Podomatic that...
Learn Japanese.
I talked to those through a podcast.
And they played some of our tunes. Really cool guys. I listened to their show at work. And Beb and Alex.
Small world.
From
one Japan to another.
And I guess to continue, like the song's also about, aside from anything related to Japan, it's just about being in your daily life and just being, you know, like fuck this, like I just want to get away from everything and just and so it's got that aspect of it. I think that's where the song originally came from, and then Japan was just kind of like an aside to that feeling of just wanting to just say like screw everything. I'm just, you know,
it's a great song. Well, let's give it a listen.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I don't even want to talk anymore. There's no words that can tell you what I feel. Run far away from all this mess.
Okay, tell me about Everywhere You Look.
Yeah, that's one of my I really like all the songs that we put together. I think we, you know, I'm very, very happy with the whole album, and that's definitely one of my favorites. Let me see. I guess as far as like the lyrical content, it would probably be
right.
Like the major part of it.
Well, let me stop you for a second,
sure.
Brad, and let me just ask you a question. This is kind of a sidebar thing.
Yeah.
We talked about some things in the first little segment.
Sure.
Let's talk about some things in this segment. I've asked artists this before, and of course the answers are varied, but how long does it take you to, like, when you think of, you know, when you, let's take Everywhere You Look as the example
sure.
here. You're sitting, you know, in the classroom, let's say in college or you're whatever, and you see something or you hear something or whatever. I mean, how did you get the inspiration, to start the song that would eventually be Everywhere You Look?
Yeah, it's very odd. I was just at my computer. I think I got off work, and I came with the chorus line first, and that was just like a snap thing. It was almost just like you know, in the doctor's office where they hit you on the knee with that thing, and then you kick your leg out. It was just like,
you talking about that little hammer?
Yeah. It was just like that. It was like, bam, okay, I got this thing, and I track my vocals in the closet. So a lot of times what I do is I just put something on a loop, and I just go into the closet and just shut the door, and then just, you know, start singing whatever. And that was one of the first things, you know, it was very instinctual and just kind of came out like that. But then, you know, from there, of course, we spend, you know, countless hours mixing and refining the sound from there. But yeah, as far as the chorus line, and I couldn't be happier with the way it turned out. You know, I just did that crazy, like, delay thing on there. And so that's how it just kind of happened. And
okay, all right. Let me ask you another question before we listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
With Kyle being working for Dell Computer, I mean, obviously you have a somewhat computer expert as part of your two-man team.
Right.
So when you do the song, I mean, you're doing it completely digital, are you not? I mean,
correct.
I mean, you're doing the guitar thing, and you've got it plugged in somehow through to where it goes into whatever software you're using
right.
to create your stuff. And then from there, once you get your tracks laid down for you and Kyle,
mm-hmm.
then you have to go back in, and that's where the real crust of the work is, right?
It is, yeah. And I'm glad that Kyle was there with me for the record, because I get lazy. Like I'm like the way I work on music is like, okay, here's another song in the bag. All right, let's do another one. But you
right.
know, with me and Kyle together, we really spent the time to mix it properly, because you know, we did it all ourselves, just in the bedroom on like literally no budget whatsoever.
Wow.
And
well, let's give it a listen
yeah.
and let everybody listen to what we're talking about.
See your face, keep you running away. We crush desires, our thoughts replace your own. We won't give it a rest. We've been ordained and blessed to take control of your thoughts, your lives, your homes. We're in the dark as you meet, waiting for you to speak in all the voices that go against our plan. We cover tracks with deceit, keep it safe on the street. Our whole agenda stays safe inside our hands. Tap your wires, that's all you need to know. We make the rules to the test, you're getting nothing at best. We require compliance, seeing home. We're in the dark as you meet, waiting for you to speak in all the voices that go against our plan. We cover tracks with deceit, keep it safe on the street. Our whole agenda stays safe inside our hands.
That was great. Okay, now tell me about Walls.
Yeah, that was that's definitely another one of my favorites.
Mine too, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, it was musically it started, apparently that was something that Kyle had written, but he played it backwards, like that backwards part that you hear at the end. Initially, I think he had told me that he wrote that for one of his class projects. And he was going to keep it like that, and I was like, you know, let's see what it sounds like forwards. And then I was just like by myself, and I ended up messing with what he had recorded and made it repeat more than he had planned on it. So then I got him to play it like that. And so that's where I came from musically. Lyrically, I guess I'm, you know, I try and stay open to different ideas, and I'm really into cosmology, you know, like universe and galaxies and stuff like that.
Right.
And also some Buddhist philosophy. So there's a touch of that in there as far as the lyrical content goes.
Well, speaking about touch of things,
yeah.
I want to touch base real quick and tell everybody about your website. And I want to talk about your website for a second before we listen to Walls. The website for the National Pool, which is Brad White and Kyle Cornett's site, is www.myspace.com/thenationalpool. Pool. That's P-O-O-L. And I've been there, and I kind of perused around a little bit, Brad. Tell everybody about your website. They can actually purchase your album and some other things.
Absolutely,
there, can they?
Yeah,
not?
Yeah, I'm a horrible salesman. we are actually in iTunes worldwide. We're pretty much every online music store, you know.
Right.
Let's see, eMusic, Napster, Zune, MTV Urge, we're on all that stuff. So literally, no matter where you're listening to this right now on planet Earth, you can get it.
So it's everything's accessible at a touch of a mouse click, just about, pretty much.
Absolutely, yeah. And I try and post up new blogs at least once every week, just about, you know, just like what's going on with the group and what we're up
right.
to. We got a lot of cool stuff coming down the line here, so...
Okay. Well, listen. I want everybody to listen to Walls, and then when we come out of Walls, I want to talk to you about live performances. But let's listen to Walls.
Sounds good.
Wow. I love that song, too. That's just such a great song, Brad. It really is. All right. Now, what I wanted to talk about before we listened to Walls was, do you guys get together and ever play, like, live gigs now in the Nashville area? Or have you?
We have not.
I know you're scrambling for answers here, but I want to ask you something while you're scrambling.
Sure.
I guess to a degree, unlike bands of like the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever, before the digital thing really came into play, which is mainly the last 10 years, I guess, where the original digital technology really started its infancy and then blossomed.
Yeah.
But I mean, isn't it more difficult for a band today that is an unsigned band like you guys and hundreds of thousands of other guys trying to be found? But isn't it more difficult today when you're dealing with so much digital technology to actually go out and do your thing on the road because so much is mixed after the fact?
Yeah, you mean as far as trying to take what we've done out into a live setting, or
yeah, like if you let's take Walls as an example. Right. I mean, it's a terrific song, but you guys, I mean, you are the two guitar things, but everything else is digital.
Yeah,
so I mean, that would be awful difficult to take on the road and play that song live, would it not?
It absolutely would. And I've only got, I think, a couple of the songs I've got in Japan and Arecibo that translate fairly well to just acoustic. And other than that, you probably won't hear any of those songs played live.
Have you given any thought to doing some music to where you and Kyle could actually display your talents in a live scenario?
Yeah. Kyle's been playing with another group lately now, and so I've been thinking about taking it acoustic, and I've been rehearsing for that.
Right.
It's weird because I really, much like Steely Dan and I think, a couple other groups, I've grown to kind of become like a studio rat. Like, I just kind of want to stay hunkered down and just keep on writing and keep writing. But you do need to take it out live. And I'll plan on probably doing a couple acoustic sets. And of course, since we have, predominantly an online fan base right now, I'll definitely be, posting it up to the MySpace page and on the YouTube and stuff like that. So definitely,
So people can really keep up with what's going on with you guys by your MySpace.com/ the National Pool website.
Definitely. And I try and keep that in mind, at every step along the way. And, just make sure people who can't, come out and see us if and when we do play that, that they can still get something to take home with them.
Okay, before we roll into Wide Sky, tell me about Wide Sky. It's another song that I really just like the hell out of, Brad.
Yeah. Thank you. That one, I'm trying to think, like lots of different interweaving guitar parts, and that came about, the one program that I do all my quick ideas on, it doesn't record guitar in stereo. It'll, even though you go into it stereo, it'll just slam it mono. So what I ended up doing was just creating all these tiny, tiny little guitar parts and then building it up so you get, just like a bunch of stuff interweaving.
Right.
And the chorus part is I don't know, it's weird. Like, I'll just get these like pictures in my head of, just like a still shot of something. And then I'll just kind of play with that and then start writing lyrics. It's a very ambiguous kind of creative process that I do sometimes. But
so how did you come up with the title Wide Sky? Where'd Wide Sky come from?
I guess it was just this picture I had in my mind of very literal of just someone just sitting there like arms open, just like screaming at the sky for no reason, not an anger or anything like that, but just kind of, I don't know, I just somehow got this like just picture in my head, and I try and, I guess like when I write, I try and be very I think beginner's mind is the phrase I'm looking for. We're just
exactly, yeah.
So every time I do it, it's like doing it for the first time. So it's
yeah. Well, it's a great song. Let's give it a listen.
Yeah.
Thank you. taking steps straight to the back, devising plots and schemes and never looking back. It's still the old regime with patch between the cracks.
Okay, before we move into our last song for your show, which is another one of my favorites, I have to admit, Brad. You know, really, all the songs that we've listened to so far, beginning with AO1, Japan, Everywhere You Look, Walls, and then what we just listened to was Wide Sky. Mm. And we're going to be going into Arecibo, but before we discuss about Arecibo, I want to remind everybody again about Brad and Kyle's website of the National Pool. Absolutely. It is www.myspace.com/thenationalpool. That's P-O-O-L. And you can get all kinds of things on Brad and Kyle's site, including their CD, which is available, and if you have iTunes connections and all these other different online connections, I mean, they've got all kinds of different ways that you guys can purchase their CD. And, of course, he's got, and as Brad said, he's got his blog on there and all this other stuff. Yeah. Okay, before we go into Arecibo, tell me about Arecibo.
This is, I think, the last song that we, and this song came together so quick, too. So this was the finishing touch on the album, and I'd say it's definitely one of my favorites, like the favorite from the entire album. And it's about, I don't know if you ever seen Contact, but I think they may have used it. It's
because I was gonna stop you there and say, tell you what's really amazing, Brad. I am a card carrying member of a website called AboveTopSecret.com, and it's the worldwide leader in conspiracy theories. It's a discussion board, and that's all it is. They have a podcast section that I do a lot of stuff on, but mainly they're a discussion board. And of course, there's all kinds of forums about Area 51 and extraterrestrial life and stuff. And when I was looking at your bio, and it talked about Arecibo, it says, you know, you're talking about how you're going from one particular song to another, and it says, to the search for extraterrestrial life on Arecibo. Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I wanted to stop you, because you actually talk about the search for extraterrestrial life, and that's kind of where Arecibo came from.
Absolutely. For those who may or may not know Arecibo, it's, I believe, as a satellite dish in Mexico, if I'm not mistaken.
Ah, okay. I knew that name was familiar to me.
Yeah, it's a satellite dish, and I...
And they talk about it in the movie Contact with Jodie Foster, even.
They do,
yeah.
Yeah. And I believe, and so aside from the tower and all that, I guess, I think I came across it online somewhere. I want to say the 50s or 60s, we sent a message containing like a binary code explaining pretty much everything about our civilization in case someone would, you know, in case an extraterrestrial would happen to get it. And I don't know if I've always been or just within the past couple of years, I've just become, you know, incredibly fascinated with, you know, like Carl Sagan, science fiction, cosmology, and all that sort of thing. And this song is actually going to be featured on a compilation put out by another podcast called This Week in Science. I believe that's coming out sometime within the next couple of weeks, featuring their compilation. So yeah.
Well, it's a terrific song. Thank you. I mean, you guys have really done a great job of that. And before we roll into Arecibo, I want to tell you, Brad, it's been a real joy.
Yeah, you too.
You know, it's just been a great show. I mean, great music. I'm just really a big, huge fan of the National Pool now, and I know once this gets out to all the military and civilian feeds that I have on the Rabbit Zone shows, you're going to really get a lot of clicks and a lot of hits, and hopefully a lot of new fans that are going to be big fans of the National Pool.
We're waiting for
And before we roll into Arecibo, I want to remind everybody that on behalf of the National Pool, Brad White and Kyle Cornett, remember, you guys don't have to support a war to support the troops. Peace, everybody.
You've just experienced Dave Rabbit and the Rabbit Zone. For more fun, audio, and video, visit Dave's official podcast home at www.daverabbit.podomatic.com. Until next time, this is Derek Johnson. Peace.
Fair.